Good morning. It's really difficult to preach after all of this excitement, right? You feel sorry for me because I would need to know, I don't know what to do to keep your attention, okay? But I pray that God will be gracious to me and help me to do that. So a special welcome to all of you. We're really excited about all of this, and my message will coincide as well with, you know, I believe what God is doing at the moment in His land and for us as a Showface London. So I want to ask you before I start, how many of you have seen a 3D movie? Cool. Okay, I know it's not in East London, eh? Okay, but don't worry. Don't worry. You, one day you're all going to see a 3D movie. It's something, I've seen two 3D movies. And I thought I'll never share it in public, but I'm going to share it now. The first one was okay. I survived through that. The second movie we watched, Andre and I watched Cars 2 on 3D, okay? We were very excited. We're going to watch Cars 2. Like halfway through the movie, I realized I'm not feeling so well. I'm really not feeling so well. Thinking, Sonika, what's wrong with you? So I got motion sickness in the movie theater watching Cars 2. On 3D. So I'm warning you, it might not be so exciting for you as you think it's going to be. Andrew and I had a lunch appointment. We were watching it in George. We had a lunch appointment with a guy from our Shofar Church in George, the pastor there. I was lying in the car like this. Him and Andre went, and we actually canceled the appointment. They just quickly went to see the church. And so we went home. So I'm warning you, if you have a little inherent flaw in your system, you know, where you get motion sickness easily, be careful for a 3D movie, especially if it's like Formula One kind of 3D movies. But in any case, it's actually quite exciting. You can't see anything unless you put the glasses on. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. I feel God wants us as a church, to put on our 3D glasses. Okay, I'm going to show you now. It looks quite ridiculous if you don't have a fancy one. But Christine Kane, she's a pastor at Hillsong Christian Church. She says, I've listened to a sermon of hers, and she said, instead of being in this world, but not of this world, as the Bible talks about us as believers. And primarily, before I continue, I'm primarily talking this morning to people who know God. Okay, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to. I feel this is a word for us as a church. Okay, so if you're visiting, just bear with me this morning. This is primarily for us as a church. Instead of being in this world, she says, but not of this world, we as Christians often tend to be of this world, but not in this world. Okay, think about it for a moment. Instead of being in this world, but not of this world, we tend to be, as Christians, as church-going believers, we tend to be of this world, but not in this world. And what that means is we often look like everybody else, we dress like everybody else, we talk like everybody else. We just look like anyone else out there. But instead of being there, you know, like Jesus did, I'm going to read you a scripture now. We hide. We hide away from anybody who do not know God because it's so comfortable for us. And I'm preaching to myself this morning as well, okay? I'm preaching to myself. I just know that God wants us to move beyond our own circle of friends, our own comfort zone, and our own church life, and just put on our 3D glasses and just move out, or just get a new perspective, okay, on life, on where people are at, and not be so comfortable and so happy with our friends and all our needs get met, and we lose perspective completely for why the church exists. Okay, and this is one of the big reasons why Jenny wrote this play. because she has a heart for the community and she has a heart for people who do not know God. And many people wouldn't come to a church service, eh? Many people are scared because they do not know whether they would be judged, whether they would feel comfortable, whether they would feel safe. But the church do exist for the down and out, not only for people who want to have friends and who want to be comfortable. So I want to show you how we live our lives, I believe, as Christians. Okay, we put on our fancy sunglasses and we keep people at a distance. We only see what we want to see. We keep them at a distance and we only allow the people in that we feel comfortable with. Okay, are you all with me this morning? And I believe God wants us to put on our 3D glasses. Do I look cool, hey? Thanks. Okay. We must take off our sunglasses. We must put on our 3D glasses and ask God to open our eyes for another dimension that we're not aware of if we only wear sunglasses as Christians. Okay. So I want to take you to a scripture. I'm going to take this off. I'm going to take you to Scripture Matthew 9, verse 9 to 12. You can turn there if you want to. Matthew 9, verse 9 to 12. I think often we have a very interesting idea about Jesus and what he was like when he walked on earth. And if we read the Gospels, I'm just over and over surprised by the man that he was. I'm over and over amazed by his life and what he did. And I just want to give you a glimpse of one part of who Jesus was. It says Matthew 9, verse 9 to 12. I'm reading from the Amplified, which you can follow in whatever translation you have. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners, in the opinion of especially the religious people of that age. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked these disciples, this is the Amplified, okay, I'm promising. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" In the Bible. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do." And I wanted to read you many other scriptures, but I'm going to stick to this one, where Jesus was not intimidated by anybody not talking Christianese, you know, using all the right words, and not by anybody who is not perfect, who is not completely holy, who is not even going to church. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't avoiding them. He was actually, you know, I'm sure Jesus had a beer sometimes, eh? What do you think? Or like a Savannah or something. I'm promising you, I think we have the complete wrong idea about Jesus. Hy het sommer die mense gekuier. Jy weet, he loved just visiting them and spending time with them. Being there. Being in this world, but not of this world. Okay, compared to being of this world, looking exactly the same, but not being in this world, hiding away. Jesus was in this world. In this world. But not of this world. And as I say, the church was never meant to be only a safe place for people who know God. The church is God's vehicle for the world. Okay? For people who have lost hope. For people who are at the end of themselves. Who do not know where to turn. But often they don't want to come to church because they do not know what they're going to get there. They do not know. They're expecting the Pharisees' viewpoint. You know, fancy sunglasses, Pharisees, only allowing the people that they want to allow in. This is what many people expect, you know. What on earth? How can, you know, you mingle with those kind of people? You know, they expect judgment. They expect us being critical, and they expect us not really welcoming them just as they are. Okay, this is what many people experience church to be like. And I, with all of my heart, I feel we are ready as a church to put on our 3D glasses, take off our sunglasses, and just ask God for His perspective on people, on life, on the world, on wherever we go. Okay, and maybe you think, oh my word, Sonika, I'm not an evangelist, so if you're going to go there, I'm switching off right now. I'm not one of those people who can walk up to somebody and say, heaven or hell, think about it. You know, we have this funny idea about, if you know, when it comes to reaching out to people, that we're so fearful, we are so afraid of just being open to what God wants to do, because we have a certain idea of what it is all about. And we think, God, I can't lead somebody to God. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. You just feel completely out of your depth when it comes to that. And I have good news for you this morning. I wanna share with you something that is so easy and so practical, and I believe this is where God wants to take us as a church. So let me show you another scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 7. You can turn there as well if you want to. If you have Bibles here, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, I planted the seeds in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Isn't that liberating? Hey, isn't that so encouraging to think that God does the miracle in somebody's heart? God is the one who's doing the miracle. The only thing we need to do is we need to sow the seed. We need to take a flyer. We need to go to our hairdresser and say, you know what? We're having this musical at our church. Don't you want to come? That's all you need to do, okay? In the context now of the play. But sometimes I think we're so afraid because we expect so much of ourselves, and we put so much pressure on ourselves that we don't do anything. Okay? And God is at work all the time in people's lives. All the time. What we need to do is we need to partner with Him. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. God is sovereign. He's in control. He knows all our ID numbers. Okay? Well, how's that for amazing? God is awesome. He is at work. He created all of us. He has a plan for everybody's life. He's doing everything from His side to connect with everybody on this planet. Okay, that is His heart. And all He wants us to do is to partner with Him. To say, God, with what seed, apple seed or a tomato seed, Lord, what seed do I sow? Where do I sow it? How much, Lord, like a little bit of water? Is it a fake blanky that's like only like a little bit of water and leave him alone? Or can I just like pour water and see what, you know? We just need to partner with the Lord. And I wanna read you a quote from Bill Hybels, which will also give you a bit more insight. I'm gonna read it now. Because there's just a little problem, you know, when it comes to all of what I'm talking about, a logistical problem when we know God for too long. And let me show you. It's Bill Hybels. He's the founder and the senior pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. a great church in America. Okay, he says, listen to this, the longer a person attends church, and I've been attending church for many years, so I'm in big trouble, okay? He's talking to me here. The longer a person attends church, the fewer evangelistic discussions they engage in with family members and friends. Fewer presentations of the life-changing plan of salvation are given, and fewer invitations to events that attractively present the message of Christ are offered. Typically now what we're doing with the Whale of a Tale, it's an event. Mostly, why? Mostly because Christian followers have fewer friends outside the faith to whom to offer them. Okay, it's a practical problem. I remember when I was still working at PwC in Stellenbosch and here for a couple of months, obviously in your workplace you would be in contact with many people who are not necessarily going to church, okay, not necessarily interested in God or in church. But since I started working with Andre, it's getting more and more difficult for us and for me to have opportunities to just connect with people. And you might think the pastor, you know, that's easy for him. He just sees people all the time. But the problem is we see all of you all the time, which is great. We love you. But we need to be creative. We need to be creative. I'm going to tell you a story now of Andre where I'm so proud of him. Where he's really just been creative. Where he's taking this challenge upon himself and just, you know, going for that. So I want to show you a graph. And then I'm going to get to the practical part of my message. I hope you can all see that. The moment we start coming to church, okay, or we start walking with the Lord, in year one, you would maybe, in average, have about 20 friends who do not know God. This is your first year ever that you just start walking with the Lord in some other way. About 20 people you would be able to call your friends who do not know God. Now, in year 8, there's zero. Okay, this is just a general picture of what it looks like, but it really makes sense to me. After 8 years of coming to church, of joining a small group, of being part of a Christian community, the chances are very good that you have zero friends. I'm not talking about colleagues at work, okay? I'm talking about friends who know God. That's interesting, eh? Very interesting. So the dilemma that we have is after 8 years in church, you know, the reason why we don't necessarily invite people or where we don't, as you say, don't engage in discussions about Christianity is just that we don't have any friends. All our friends know God. Okay? And this is what I want to share with you this morning. A practical way of coming to a place where we have friends that we can invite. Where we have friends that we can have discussions with. Because people, we're going to die spiritually. Let me tell you, even if you're in a church, even if you are going to a small group, even if you are actively involved, something in us is going to die if we don't participate, if we don't actively pursue friendships with people who don't know God. Okay? We need people to come to Jesus. We need people to come and inspire us again about the gift of salvation. Again, as I said, I'm primarily speaking to people who know God. All right? So, if you're visiting, just bear with me this morning. So, living in 3D. Let me put my glasses on again. Make sure you're all awake. Okay, here we go. Okay. Living in 3D. Number one. Near to now. Facebook, here we go. Number one, living in 3D. Develop friendships. Now I'm gonna tell you a couple of stories because it sounds easy, but it's not so easy. Bill Hybels is the same guy who gave this quote. He tells a story about his son's soccer coach. his son started playing soccer, and every time after the every match, he was chatting to his son's friends, parents, and you know, they had a little group, and they all knew each other. It was nice. And then one day, God said to him, "Bill, I want you to walk over to the soccer coach, help him pick up the balls and the cones and everything after the match. Just introduce yourself." I said, "Okay, God, here I go." You know, leave his comfortable friendship group. There he goes. And he started talking to the guy, helping him after every match, just speaking to him, chatting to him. Then one day he decided, okay, he's going to invite him to church. He's the pastor, okay? Bill Hybels is a senior pastor at Willow Creek. And he said to him, I think his name was Brian, the guy. Said, "Brian, I would like to invite you to church with me to Willow Creek." And he said to me, "You know what? I knew you were going to do that. I saw it coming. And you know what? The traffic freaks me out. The Willow Creek traffic, because I sit in the traffic every Sunday when the people go to church. No, I'm not interested. Leave me alone." Okay? How's that for encouraging? So he decided, okay, he's going to back off, but he's still after every match. He's just going to talk to him, help him pick up all his stuff, put it in his boots. And his son went to high school. He had no contact with the guy anymore, the soccer coach. Years after that, the guy phoned him saying, "My business is falling apart. My life is falling apart. Can I come talk to you?" "I'm not interested in church," he said. "Leave me alone. I just want to come talk to you." So they did. They had a couple of meetings. The guy disappeared again, completely. It was years. Then one day, he was in his church teaching people about baptism. What we did last week on Sunday was a baptism service for everybody who wanted to get baptized. He was just teaching them about that. And there the guy sits in the front row. His son's soccer coach. He went to him afterwards. He said, "This is a baptism meeting. What do you do here? Do you realize this is a baptism meeting?" He said, "Yes." What happened is he sneaked to the back row of Willow Creek one evening or one morning. He gave his life to God when Bill Hybels was preaching. And he wants to get baptized. I'm talking about years, okay? He doesn't mention how many years, but I think it must have been at least like 7, 8, 9 years. And all he did, he left his comfort zone of all the people he knew. He walked to the soccer coach. He said, "You know, thank you for what you do for my boy. He loves soccer. You're such a great guy to work with the boys." He was developing a friendship. Okay, does it make sense to you? But what it takes is to leave your little circle of friends. We attended a birthday party a while ago. And, you know, Andre and I were talking after the party when we were driving home. And Andre said to me, "You know, Sonika, there were a couple of people who are not in the church, who don't even know God." And he said he really tried to just introduce himself and be friendly. You know, and I felt so convicted. That was a couple of months ago. God spoke to me so clearly that evening because I didn't do it. I spoke to Sandra and, you know, all the people I wanted to talk to. And I was just not, I mean, we introduced, you know, like that kind of introduction where you can't even remember the name kind of a thing that we did. Confessing all my sins here again this morning. And I just realized that I was in a comfort zone that specific evening. I was in a comfort zone. I wasn't praying beforehand, asking God to show me. I wasn't putting on my 3D glasses. I was having my sunglasses on, and I just connected with whoever I wanted to connect with that evening. And God spoke to me, and I just realized that it's not difficult. It only takes a willingness to walk out of your comfort zone. And I had to just reevaluate myself that day again. You know, and so now I'm definitely more focused at parties and things. I just realize, you know, this could be my seed that I sow. Do you know what? All we need to do is we need to move people. People. I'm doing my bit to make you laugh, okay? We need to move people from a minus 10 in their pursuit to God to a minus 8. Or you need to move them from a minus 5 to a minus 4. That is your seed, or that is your bit of water, and that is enough. That is really enough. But it takes for us to make an active, to be actively pursuing a friendship out of our comfort zone, which is not easy. Okay, but that is the first step. That is the first D. And that's why I'm so proud of Andre, because, you know, always when he went to the gym, was putting on his earphones, gospel music, focused, you know. And then God spoke to him and just saying, take off your earphones. Go and introduce yourself to the people who are there. Go more or less at the same time and just develop friendships. And it's amazing, you know, what God is doing at the moment. And whether those guys are ever going to come to church, I don't know. But it's not, that's not our business. Okay, it's not our business where they are with God. Our part is just to say, God, open my eyes. Help me to see three-dimensional. Help me to see more than just the little bit that I'm used to. Open my eyes. So other examples would be your hairdresser or people you do sport with, your colleagues at work. You know, we have so many opportunities for the girls who are pregnant, the girls at your antenatal class. I met so many women when Vian was small. I'm taking him to the clinic. There, all the moms sit with their babies. You're all in the same boat, because you might feel when your baby, you see nobody. The girls at your antenatal class or at the clinic, the wonderful opportunity just to introduce yourself. Say, I'm Sonika. What do you do? How old is your baby? You know, it's actually so easy. But for me, I'm it's hard for me. Okay, it's hard for me. I'm shy and I'm an introvert, so to do that actually takes a lot of energy for me, and I know for many of you as well. But this is all that we need to do. Okay, second 3D, we need to, not second in living a life of 3D, we need to discover their stories. And I'm not going to say much about that. But instead of just you talking and you bombarding them with, even with Christianity and what you believe, just allow them to share with you. What do they do? What are their passions? What is important to them? What is their life story? You know, in this process of just reaching out to people, just allow them to share with you what is going on in their lives and just listen. Discover their stories, okay? Develop friendships, discover their stories. And number 3, I'm almost finished. Discern the appropriate next step. I want you to think about that for a moment. We now have left our comfort zone. We introduced ourselves. We know a little bit about the person. We know, for example, the person is married, and maybe they have 2 children. Maybe the guy has a hectic job. You know a little bit. But now what now? What now? Okay, what do we do now? Because ultimately, we need to partner with God in moving this person to a place of peace and joy. Okay? So what we need to do, we need to, By God's help, by partnering with Him, we need to discern what is the next step. Okay, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. But before I do that, I just want to say, whenever you do that, keep your natural style in mind. Okay, you don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to argue about creation, evolution, and Jesus created the earth in 6 days. And I'm telling you, there's all the facts. And if you're not in that, you know, kind of aggressive kind of style. Those kind of people are great, eh? I admire them. People who can just, you know, yeah. But in any case, keep your natural style in mind. Like Peter in the Bible, he was a confronter. Okay, he had a very confrontational style. He cut the one guy's ear off when it was Peter. When they wanted to arrest Jesus, he was like, you know, how can you take Jesus? I'm cutting off your ear. You know, he was like completely a confrontational, aggressive kind of style, personality. That was his natural style, and Jesus used it. Okay? The Apostle Paul had an organized, analytical, you know, he was a more analytical, organized kind of a teacher. He wasn't exactly the Peter, even though I think maybe he also cut off ears sometimes, out of frustration maybe. But Paul had a complete different style. Okay? Jesus was very interpersonal. He was just telling stories. He was just making friends with people. He was interpersonal. He was using parables. He was using examples that it was applicable to everybody at that stage, okay, in their lives. Mother Teresa, maybe you're just more of a servant kind of person who just helps out. We just recognize a need and we just be there. That's a more servant kind of approach, which is awesome. Okay? So I want you to relax in your own natural ability. We are all different, and that is awesome. You know, Lee Strobel is a guy who was an atheist. He's an author, for those of you who know his books. He has a testimonial approach where he just tells the story. He just tells his life story. Just say, I was an atheist. I now follow God. This is my story. Maybe you more natural with that, where you just say, this is my story. And you tell it easily, and you're very natural with that. So find your own natural style. Okay. I'm going to give you four ideas of just discerning the next step. But the most important is that we actually just walk with God. You know, Bill Hybels tells another story where he went to the hairdresser, to his hairdresser, and he said to God, Lord, I'm open. If you want me to say something today, I'm open. I'm available. I'm ready. He walked in, and his hairdresser and another hairdresser and the other hairdresser's client, three of them, had a conversation. Like, you know, he didn't have like any second to say anything. And he walked out there, he paid, he walked to his car, and he said he had so much peace about the whole morning. He didn't say anything. He did not even open his mouth. But he was available. He said to God, Lord, if you want me to say or to do anything, I'm partnering with you here. And nothing happened, and he wasn't condemned. He didn't feel guilty. He wasn't faced at all, because there was an opportunity. See, God creates opportunities, and God will open the door. So you don't have to go and kick the door open, you know, go and Bible bash anybody, because God is so at work in people's lives. We just need to partner with him. So four things. I'm almost finished. Pray. I remember we had a prayer group at work at PricewaterhouseCoopers in Stellenbosch. For 7 years we prayed. After 3 years there, I felt God wanted us to start praying. Sometimes we prayed every week. Sometimes we prayed every second week. Sometimes I had to drag myself out of bed. Oh. Sometimes I was very excited. Okay, I went through many stages in those 7 years. But you know what? The most important thing that changed for me by praying for the people at my workplace is it changed my own heart. God actually gave me a love for the people, you know? And God challenged me. He said to me, Sonika, I want you to attend work functions. I want you to go away over weekends, you know, when the guys just go away for a weekend, where it's optional, but, you know, I didn't have to go, I wasn't really very eager to go either, you know? I just wanted to hide again, put my sunglasses on, hide away at home and read a book and spend time with Andre and not a whole weekend with my colleagues where they just gonna go wild, okay? So God said to me, you go. I want you to go. I want you to develop friendships. I want you to be there with your grape tizer and just be there. And you know, it changed my heart. it changed so much in me because God gave me a love for people who just didn't care about God. You know, but God showed me. It was as if God put 3D glasses on for me, and He showed me. I could see in people's hearts, okay, that yes, they're so macho and they so pretend that everything is going so fine and so well, and they drink and they, you know, they just look so, you know, we don't need God. But God, when the moment I put these glasses on spiritually, God opened my eyes for their hearts. I didn't only see one dimension. God showed me more of what's going on in people's hearts, and it changed my life. But it started by praying for them. Okay, so pray. That's easy. We can all do that. Pray. Second thing, meet a practical need. And this is where you would really need to partner with God, because that can be making food for somebody in a crisis. It can be visiting somebody at the hospital. It can be feeding your neighbor's kittens over the weekend when they're away. Okay? Think very practically. Anything that can actually help out. A practical need. Giving somebody a lift when they need transport. Okay? Because once again, it's moving out of our comfort zone and doing something for somebody who is not necessarily your best friend. But you're developing a kind of a friendship where you partner with God and where you're going to see, maybe never see results, but you're gonna see some results, even if it's just in terms of your own heart. Okay? Number three, providing resources, also very practical. Somebody going through a divorce, and you have an excellent book or excellent sermon or something that you can just give to the person. So you don't have to do anything. You just, you know what? We have something. We had a sermon at our church, and Andre spoke, our pastor spoke about that, and I think it's going to bless you. I think it might mean a lot to you. You go to the website, you download it, you put it on a CD or on a flash drive, and you give it to the person. Okay? Or you have read a good book, and you meet somebody, you're in a friendship, and you realize this book is what this guy needs now. Again, we're partnering with God, okay? We're checking the whole time, God, okay, should I just back off? You know, like Bill Hybels, he just backed off completely. He didn't mention church again. He didn't give him a book or a tape or nothing, okay? He backed off because this is what he felt God wanted him to do. But we should be asking God all the time, Lord, what is the next step? Okay, and then number four, invites. And this is where a whale of a tale is such an amazing opportunity. Because people will come to a musical, but they're not necessarily going to come to church. Okay, so this is a golden opportunity. This is an awesome opportunity if you're already in a friendship with somebody who do not know God. And you just want to expose the person a little bit about church. Bring him to the musical. Okay, very practical. We have other events in church as well. I'm not going to talk about that so much now, but sometimes people wouldn't come to a church service, but they will go to a braai. And you just invite somebody to a braai where there's other people from the church as well. And you just develop friendships. Okay, so you develop friendships, you discover their stories, and you discern the next step in partnership with God. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then we're going to sing a song, and then we're finished. Okay, are you all still all right? Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. In the New King James. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Amen. The worship team can come up, please. You know what? The darkness isn't the problem. Often, you know, I come to a point where I say to God, Lord, where are you? Where are you in all of this? You know, when you speak to so many people going through a difficult time, when you hear about so many almost horror stories, you know, about death, sickness, destruction, divorce, crisis, so many things. And I ask God, what's going on? And you know, every time God takes me to this scripture where it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. So this is not new, okay? The darkness isn't new, and the darkness isn't the problem. It's not the problem, okay? What is the problem is we don't arise and we don't shine, okay? So the darkness isn't the problem. We should not be intimidated by darkness. We should not be intimidated by death, sickness, destruction, divorce, disaster. We should not be intimidated by that. It's going to be there, okay? What we need to do is we need to arise and we need to shine by just leaving your comfort zone and just introducing yourself to somebody, okay? So I just want to encourage you this morning, as we're going to do one last song, I just want us to trust the Lord for a freedom and a boldness. You can just all stand with me as the band gets ready. I really believe God wants us to put on our 3D glasses, okay? To put it on, and whether we look stupid or not, whether we make a fool of ourselves or not, because that is our fear. We fear what people are going to think. We fear what they're going to say. We fear rejection. And I, with all of my heart, believe God wants to break that this morning. The fear of man and that fear of what if they reject me? What if they're going to say, like Bill Hybels' son, soccer coach, I'm not interested in your church. You freak me out. Stay away from me. Okay? What if? Because we all fear that. Because, you know, we all fear that. And I just want to encourage you this morning to stand with me as we're going to praise God now and just declare the song that He will break the spirit of fear of our lives. So I just want to ask, you don't have to close your eyes. I just want to ask, any one of you who want to take off your sunglasses and put on your 3D glasses. Anyone who wants to just do that, even if it's one person, even if it's just going to your workplace and say, God, show me. All right, let's just sing this song. And I also want to invite you, if you want to grab a flag, maybe you've never done it before, if you just want to come and dance here in front, let's just trust the Lord for a place of freedom. Okay, let's just worship the Lord.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one.
Hallelujah, let's worship God.
Did you feel the people? Did you hear these singers roar? When the lost sheep heard you sing of Jesus Christ the saving one. And we can see that God's renewing mighty river through the nations. And young and dreams always wander over to wash away our brokenness. Let's sing that again.
Together for God. Let's just praise God. Jesus, we honor you. We honor you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts. Thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name. If I would tell you my story, then I would be able to say, in a certain sense, I was like a beggar on street, going hungry, having no place to find food, being dirty, not having a family, just being out there. That would be my story in a spiritual sense. And what's so amazing is that I found a place where I can get fresh bread, living bread. And that place is Jesus. How can we, who were beggars, find this freshly baked bread every day that nourishes us and fills us and strengthens us? How can we not point other people to the same place and say, you can find bread? You can find bread. And so I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you might find yourself in your relationship with God, there's nothing like the bread of Christ. There's nothing like the living bread of Christ. And it's only when you taste it that you can truly understand how amazing this is. When you taste the bread of Christ, you want to live only for Him. You want to do everything for Him. It's amazing. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you might find yourself this morning, set some time aside. Speak to God like you speak to a person, and you say, Lord Jesus, I want that living bread. I want to be filled. And that's why I enjoy, I'm gymming for Jesus at this stage. I'm 5 or 6 times a week in the gym at the same time, and I'm building relationships with people. I don't know, every time before I drive to gym, I pray. I say, God, whatever you want to do. And I'm learning people's names. I'm just bringing those names before God. I say, God, may they find your bread. May they find your life. So I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you that so many of us here this morning can say we found the bread of life. And it's amazing. It's a peace that transcends understanding. It's a joy that is not dependent on our circumstances. We have a destiny. We have a cause. We have life. And so, Father, we just pray for each of us, God, wherever we might be in our relationship with God, if we might have drifted, if we might have forgotten what it tastes like, the bread of Christ, oh God, may our feet find its way back to you. And so we pray for each of us here this morning, Lord, just for our hearts to turn to you. Beggars out there alone in the cold, to find a home, to find a family, the family of God. Lord, we worship you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for life. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Join us for some coffee. If you need prayer for anything, please come to the front and we'll pray with you. Have an awesome week. 24 days. Go for it.